This is HPR episode 2241 entitled HPR Community News for February 2017 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 35 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in February 2017.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. And this is the community news show for the month of February, is it?
I do believe so.
Joining me tonight is Dave. Hi Dave.
Hello. And it's March, but we're doing February.
So, yes.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's confused. That's good.
And for those of you joining for the first time, Hacker Public Radio is a community podcast where the shows are crowdsourced from the community. So if you listen to HPR, feel free to do a show and submit it to us. This, we are doing the community news show, which is just stuff that goes on in the community. Dave and I are two of the janitors here at HPR. And the community is basically based on what everybody agrees is the way forward, usually on the mailing list. Would that's not very eloquent, Dave. but it's what you get.
yeah. But it's a community and therefore everybody has a say, it's basically it, isn't it?
Pretty much. Okay, so yeah, we're going through February. Seems only did we do Jenga? I can't even remember doing Jenga. Oh, yeah, we did before. It was the night before, the night before Fostem and not a creature was moving.
Yes. That's right. It was all done in a bit of a rush last time, I think. That was fine.
Yeah, I had and then off to Fostem. Oh, man, that was hectic. That was. And still not recovered from that.
Yeah. Yes, it sounded like you were busy.
Okay, let's go through the shows. And the idea behind this show is that once a month we will go through and at least give some comment on the feedback on the shows, because people are terrible at giving feedback. Always try and give feedback on shows. It's the coolest thing that can happen in your day, especially if you like the show. Go ahead and give some feedback. At the moment, we're having some website issues, so you sent off the show notes, and I changed the links to redirect to archive.org, which I must say was pretty cool, actually. All the shows, and I'm putting an asterisk behind that, which you can fill in later, are also published up to archive.org with the show notes, and it is pretty impressive, actually.
Yes, it's quite lucky. We're not completely up to date, because I should have been doing the last week's lot today, but unfortunately, as you say, we're having website problems, so I can't. But yeah, most of them are there.
And also, having it a week or two afterwards is no big deal, because sometimes we get corrections to shows in the first week after they're published. So it saves you having to re-edit the shows in archive.org.
Yes.
Which is always a good thing.
Partly why I did it. So I'm always a week behind, but you know, it's just a few days, so I didn't reckon it was a big deal.
Yes. So we had the first show was 2218, Cool Stuff Part 5, Curtis Adams wasting shows by doing three things in the one show. But so long as he keeps them coming, I'm not one to complain. You know me, Dave.
Curtis Adkins, it was actually Adkins.
Adkins, anyway, is it?
Yes. C prompt is probably easier.
Probably handier, yeah. But then do you put the charat at the end? C prompt charat? Is that how you pronounce that, Dave?
Yeah,
the reef shaped symbol over the six on the US keyboard. How about that? You know, somebody should do a show about the names of all the characters on the keyboard. That would be pretty awesome.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because that's called a caret, and it's also called a circumflex, depending on the context. I'm not sure what, you know, in French it's used a lot, and it's called a circumflex, or something like that.
Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't fall for my trap there, so I'll move on.
No, I'm not doing that show. No, sorry. Yes, anyway, I just wanted to say that I like the reference to Opera Mini, which I haven't yet tried, but I want to. That was a useful thing. I like the format of these shows, as I've said before.
Yeah, and the font family thing is pretty cool, actually. It's nice to have a little
watch. Yeah, indeed. That's really cool, isn't it?
And then just some music recommendations. Always nice. Pretty cool.
Oh, yes.
Good show. Then we had Reggie coming back again with the musings of a novice cable TV cutter, which you shouldn't do because I work for a cable TV company, but it was interesting. I brought this up in work actually, and I had a few people listen to it, as in here's a guy who's cut the cable, but we also do over the top stuff, so it's it's no skin off our nose really.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for the tale he was telling, really, that it's cable TV deals in the USA sound really dreadful in general.
I would hope that ours are not like that. I will skip merrily on, but I have heard some pretty horrendous sales tactics. I think in the EU, a lot of this stuff isn't allowed under false advertising, or maybe the regulation stronger or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I've given up all that stuff, as I've said before, so I don't care. I do feel sorry for people who want to watch TV and stuff.
So the following day we had HPR 2220 taking apart a tablet, and it was such a pity that he couldn't find the problem. Or maybe I've ruined the show now for people, but I was had my fingers crossed during the whole thing. I actually needed to do something similar here as well.
Yeah, it's his son had built something in the tablet. Was that it's not really a spoiler after the event, is it?
No, that's true, but then again, maybe people listen to the show to know which ones to listen to. We're not going to be able to do the comments until afterwards, Dave. Normally we would do the comments, are we?
Yes, up to you really.
Well, if you can keep them in your head, far ahead.
Well, it's probably, I don't know. I've got all the comments in another tab here.
Here's the comments.
I sent you a list of all the comments which I pulled out of a copy of the database.
Well, can you do all the comments then? Because I don't have access to them yet. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, there was a comment on that one, taking apart a tablet. So if you can read that.
Yes, it was Alpha32 who said, "Oh man, this was a real nail biter. I really hope you had a grounding bracelet. Thanks for looking inside a tablet and thorough description." So yeah, it was. Was he going to fix it or not? So yeah, very good.
Cool, Dave. Thanks very much. We got a nice text file here.
Yeah, I did this as an emergency some time ago, and we've never had to use it.
Okay, brilliant. Okay. So the following day was HPR Community News, and Brian commented to say, "Sorry, I'll make a point of having better show notes. I was on audio. Any audio is better to no audio. The show should have been a month out, if ever, if I prepared or researched. I apologize for the inconvenience for those who needed them." And I'll just comment reply back on that. This was about the his show. We were mentioning this his show was about the pottery, and basically, my own catchphrase: "Any show is better than no show," is very apt there. And I couldn't believe for one second that he did that show unscripted without show notes.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it did actually, but it's a very, very, very detailed subject, and he really covered a lot of that.
Yeah, but I would have thought, like, if you're the way he was going through it so systematically, I thought, well, he obviously has to be working off a list. This can't be coming out of one person's head without like a whole go of post-it notes sticking around the place. So I am now extremely, extremely impressed with Brian there. Well done. Yes. Him.
Absolutely. I should say that when we were talking about this last community news, I said I would add some of the Wikipedia links that I'd been looking at while I was saying I did that. Well, you can't see it at the moment, but they are added to the... Well, that's a good point. I haven't been updated on archive.org, so that's something to do.
The reign of fail, Dave, continues. It's hard to get good help nowadays, folks.
I'll leave it to you then, Ken. That's all right.
So let's just skip through all the FOSDEM talks and just deal with them. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 FOSDEM episodes. In total, something like 8.5 hours of talks, given the thing was only open for, I was only there for, 12 hours in total. That was pretty efficient this year.
Yeah, you really seem to blitz through it all, I have to say. And it was really, really interesting stuff. I made a few notes. It was just a few things that stood out to me. It was just my own personal interest. I particularly like listening to Jonathan Riddell, having just recently put KD Neon on the laptop I'm using today. Really enjoying it so far. A few things crash, but on the whole, pretty damn good.
And that laptop looks pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I was fascinated that Nextcloud and OwnCloud were they down the corridor from one another?
They were far enough away that you couldn't throw stuff, so...
It just struck me as amusing. And the other things I noted were TikiWiki sounded a lot nicer than I've heard before. The interview made it sound like something I really want to get into. And the Turris Omnia router.
Oh, that's such a cool device.
Sounded so brilliant. I wanted to go and see them. If I'd made it to Bosom, I would have been there at the stand. But yeah, it sounded really good from what I was hearing in the interview there.
It just looked so clean, and these guys have obviously been thinking a lot of very bright minds, but also looked very clean, and it was seemed that they had a lot of real world expertise from people put into it.
Yeah, it's a little expensive, but it's probably worth it given that the rate of me buying routers and them failing or, you know, something nasty happening to them has been quite high. So I'm sure I've spent that amount and more than once since I've been using ADSL. So very tempted to go for one.
The Terry Pratchett economy of the boot.
What was that?
He has this theory that poor people spend more money on, you buy a cheap pair of boots, whereas rich people will buy have the money to buy a very good pair of boots that they can continue to repair and pass them on from generation to generation. You know?
Yes. Yes, it's similar to that, yeah.
Yeah, but there was a lot of interesting talks this year, and I ended up doing the posters and things for the stands, which meant that a lot of the work afterwards in getting the logos and things was scriptable. So the following day wasn't so bad, but I had ended up going down on the Friday and going in on the Friday to the stands as well. So. We missed you terribly, Dave, to be honest.
Yeah, I was sad I couldn't come.
But JWP was there. We had a good laugh. My nephew was there as well, but I basically didn't see him. Okay, you having a good time? Yeah. Bye. I'm going to the internet and things, and he's gone. You know. So
that's the way to do it. So yeah, the internet thing sounded as if there was a fair bit going on there, which is interesting. I heard mention of MQTT, which I've played with a little bit, which is good.
I didn't get to see any of the talks as yet.
No. Looks like all of the videos, well, a good proportion of them came out this year. Previous years, they've been a bit flaky, but from what I've seen, quite a lot. I did actually watch a few sessions in real time, and was getting really good streaming from the sessions too, which is again a breakthrough.
Yeah. We also put the talks, our talks, up on the the FOSDEM website. So the unbranded WAV files or FLAC files are up there as well, which is pretty nice.
Excellent.
So there was one comment on FOSDEM H building hallway track, and that was from Be Easy. I wanted to leave one comment for this series. Thank you very much for these episodes. They were pleasant to listen to. I wish I could have attended. It makes me want to record at least one episode from Scale, which I will be attending. Owes me a show, Dave.
Oh, you said it. Yes, absolutely.
If you say it, you owe me a show. Okay, and then we had a whole series of talks from Clinton Roy. Actually, I wouldn't call them talks. I would call them conversations, was a better description. And I had the feeling that I was, you know, as he was doing these interviews, he was in the coffee bar, and I was just with my chair, with my back to them, you know what I mean, in between the two of them, whoever he happened to be interviewing. Very, very, very cool.
It was a nice way of doing a series of interviews, I thought. It just nice, relaxed chat about all sorts of interesting stuff and some interesting people.
So, and he is very involved with the linuxconf.au as well. So, you know, sometimes some of the information was coming from him, sometimes it was coming from the guests. So very, very high level of access that we got to the whole organization. Very impressed.
Yes. As I was listening, I wasn't sure whether this was a room full of people in suits or whether it was a bunch of really relaxed, laid-back people.
Laid-back people, they're all Australian.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know.
With their knives and, you know, carrying...
Yeah,
with the stereotypes jackets. and the hat with the corks and stuff. I'm sure it's just like Crocodile Dundee.
Well, I went and looked at the site, and it looked as if it was all very. Oh, and there's quite a lot of videos too that you can check out, and it does look like just what people in t-shirts and shorts and jeans and stuff doing stuff. It looks like a Linux conference.
Yeah. And Clinton Roy said, comment one, Guido, Guido replied, great to hear about the big picture. As someone who put on an open source conference in Boston, I find it hard to get the feel of where the community is locally. I really enjoyed this interview and discussions about how to engage organizers with tools for conferences.
Yes, it was interesting that they have refined the sort of conference software quite considerably. I'd like to hear more about what that does and so forth. But it sounded pretty impressive.
And Kevin O'Brien says, great interviews. I just finished listening to them today and they were great. I hope you can do more in the future. Yep, so do I.
Indeed.
So that was that. Then we had Hoarding Raspberry Pis by Be Easy. And that was actually kind of cool because I've got exactly the same rack here and in work. I got three of those racks because I want to do something for work as well. So they're a great way to store pies. In fact, I went out and got some of those little, pillars. So
yes,
to
yes.
make these myself for my data center in a cellar downstairs.
Yeah, I had tried to source these racks personally a while back, and there weren't many available at that time. I think it's probably better now, but you can get all the standoffs in nylon or brass or whatever. I was actually toying with making a design and getting it cut in the maker place in town, but haven't done anything about it yet.
You have a maker place in town?
Yeah, yeah, there's the Edinburgh Make Lab.
And you haven't done any interviews from there? You haven't gone down there, Dave? And
I haven't been there.
Conscripted people into the... Sorry, we're not allowed to use the word conscript. Encourage volunteers to help out with HPR.
I know, I keep meaning to do
conscription.
This,
so is it all bad? Anyway, so, yeah, Sigflup says, right on, very good show. High praise indeed from Sigflup. And Jezra, also high praise. Wonderful. When you mentioned that the Raspberry Pis are general computers, I really resonated with me that they would also be ideal for an always-on computer due to the low power consumption. Absolutely. I have just finally, Dave, gotten my a Raspberry Pi here for myself to have the temperature sensor outside and inside, which is pretty cool.
Oh, good. Yeah, I want to do that. Yes. I'd like to hear about that.
I fell into my own trap. No.
You did.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll see. And what else? Yes, and I've got a Bitscope micro DSO digital oscilloscope, and oh, yeah. I have no clue how to use it. So I can plug it into this thing here. So I've got a monitor here, a HDMI monitor, and next to that I've got a cheapy monitor I got at the Goodwill store or Kringle Winkle, and a flexible thingy and flexible keyboard, and then
right.
Okay, I'm gonna have to do a show. Yes. Why did I even go there? Why do I even talk to you?
Well, you know, it's what it's like the other end, you know.
So. Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Okay.
I just took delivery of a Pi Zero W yesterday. I've just been playing.
Oh,
it
I didn't
today.
Didn't even hear. I just barely heard about them. I've been off the internet so long.
Yes, I just happened to be on various mailing lists, and I got a thing that said, "Oh, the Pi Zero W." Whoa. Who's selling them? Can I buy one? So yeah, I got one and a little case and stuff. It's looking pretty good. I mean, basically, it's like the Pi, a cut down version of the Pi 3. It's got the same wireless and Bluetooth hardware in it, but it'll be really good for making small devices to your weather station, that type of thing. You know, should be able to run it off a lithium ion battery. Quite well, I would have thought.
Oh, wow.
And those are available from plenty of places now. So, yeah.
Cool. So it's the same form factor as the Zero, is it?
Yes. The board's rearranged. So some of the cases that fit really tightly don't quite fit. But all of the connectors in the same place.
I just realized all my cases for the don't work with the Pi 2 or the Pi 3 now. Which is a bit
this
of a,
is a problem.
But they are. But anyway,
yes.
That's life, Jim. Shall we go through some of the other show notes, the comments that we had? For
yes.
example, how awesome is GNU Linux? Why it will take over the world by Clacky?
Geeks. That was Geeks, no. By the way. G-U-I-X.
Oh, Geeks.
Yeah. Pronounced Geeks.
Oh, God, yes. Okay, you do this one then.
Clack, it says video. I did record a presentation using those slides in February, so I guess I won't record a show. The video is here, and he gives a link to the video. It was in Hong Kong, and he did a talk about geeks. And the latest community news suggested, though, that my everyday package operations comment deserved an episode, so I may record that.
There we got him on the hook for one, Dave. Conscripts. Step forward. And on the episode Makers on YouTube by Dave Morris,
Jim... we read that one last time, actually.
Okay, fair enough.
I think, yeah, because when did we record
right
last time?
Right up on the last day, on the second, yeah.
I've forgotten, yeah, so it was, that's why that one had come through then. So and so had the next one on 2212, yep.
Okay, Clay Body by Brian. Can I read that, Dave? Brian says, clarification. I want to impress the image of clay particles and their memory, but it caused me to simplify both the formation of the clay and the aging of the clay quite a bit. The more important mechanism is the chemical decomposition regarding both mold, algae, beer, etc. Can be very good for the aging process, and the mountain is more decomposed chemically than the ground to dust.
I had not appreciated that. He's saying that, you know, quite a lot of clay, the substance you find that's referred to as clay, is in riverbeds because it's sort of ground down stuff. Apparently, ground down stuff. But the argument is that the best materials or the best composition of the stuff is due to chemical decomposition of the rock rather than the physical breakdown. So that, and if you read the Wikipedia articles, it does give some quite useful insights into that as well. I didn't know that. Interesting.
Very, very much so. Okay, working AO Alpha Oscar 85 with my son by Christopher N. Hobbs, Michael Miri from our hosts, our conscripts. I'm going to have to stop using that word, really. I like it though. I just conscripted you into HBR. Hello, Christopher. You were wondering why the Doppler shift was on the transmit side of the AO85 satellite. Well, there is always a Doppler shift on the uplink and downlink frequencies. Up and down are separated by using different frequency bands on 2 meters. That's VHF 145 megahertz. And on 70 centimeters, that's UHF 435 megahertz. As Doppler note, I really wish a lot more people would do what he just did there, putting in brackets what 2 meters and 70 centimeters are. Anyway, by the way, as Doppler shift scales with frequency, it is obvious that the effect is thrice as severe on the 70 centimeter frequency as opposed to the 2 meter. AMSAT Oscar 85. AO85 has a UV transponder, which means the transmit directions towards the satellite is on UHF and thus experiences a greater Doppler shift. Some other satellites have VU transponders, where the bigger shift effect will be seen on the output of the satellite. Another entry for the list of things to explain in a separate show or an amateur roundtable is, what is this Doppler shift all about? Great suggestion. The best way to demonstrate it would probably be a recording of the telegraphy telemetry beacon. Many of the birds have when... Probably the best way to demonstrate this would be the recording of the telemetry telegraphy beacon. Many of the birds have satellites, where you can easily hear the pitch of the tone changing while the satellite passes. By the way, I was not even aware that there was an AO85. I have to keep more updated on this, smiley face. Regards, Michael.
Yes, powerful stuff. I'd like to know about Doppler shift.
We are finally starting to get the old Elmers out of the wood here, get them recording, pull them away from their shacks and get them recording HPR shows. Although the first ham radio one hasn't been released on the live feed as yet. Oh, we missed a podcast, by the way. And that is hoarding Raspberry Pis. And after that is Do You Care by Curtis Adkins, C prompt, circumflex. And this was a show about where he apparently has a problem when people say, I couldn't care less or I could care less. Now, I have spoken to him before about this I could care less thing, and I think he's absolutely wrong in his statement.
I think you're trying to generate a show here, aren't you, Ken? That sounds like the show generator coming on now.
I've already spoken to him on IRC about this, because if you do care about, right, and the thing is, I could care less about this topic. To me means I could care less, but I have no interest in caring in putting in the effort. I couldn't care less can never be Dave. It simply cannot be. He drew a line from 0 to 100, right? So by definition, if you're alive, if the universe hasn't ended, there is still always the faint possibility that you can care less. You know what I mean, Dave? I could try to care less about this topic, but there is always a possibility that something will change, that yes, my great uncle was in actual fact interested in this topic, but now he has passed away, so therefore I now even care less than I did earlier. You know what I mean? So the whole statement to me is erroneous. It can't possibly exist. It's a fallacy. It's a lie. You should anytime you hear somebody saying "I couldn't care less" means that they are incapable of. Oh yeah, I can't even go there. I'm gonna stop right now. That's it.
Yes. Well, number one, it sounds like you must have done a philosophy degree alongside your engineering.
I just spend a lot of time in Irish bars. So that's pretty much what happened.
Secondly, you seem to be in the school of it goes up to 11 and it goes down below zero as well.
No, I do actually believe that in a binary world, you will never get down to zero. It's like when you go into the physics experiments and they go in, let's assume, you know, there's zero friction and you're working in a vacuum chamber. But what you're telling me will never occur. It's just a rough approximation. This can never occur.
Yes,
that always bothered me.
But there is an absolute zero. So, you know, I think there could be an absolute zero in the Kering scale.
we as humans cannot operate on absolute zero. So if there is, you prove my point, Dave. You prove my point. Take a thermometer, stick it in your mouth, and that's how much you care, even without trying to care. There's still the potential that you're going to lose some careness.
Yes. It's I see where you're going there.
It was at this point that Curtis threw his MP4 aug player at the wall in disgust.
Yes.
However, I think couldn't care less about this.
Yes. I think probably we should change this expression or both of those expressions and go for absolute zero in the Kering scale.
Yes. How far are you on the absolute zero on the Kering scale? But to me, when people say "I could care less," I always add in my head, "I could care less, but I'm not motivated enough."
I don't care enough to do it.
I don't care enough to do it. You know, that's really what I get from it, which is I will admit, you know, 50% incorrect because you're not saying the statement. You're not completing your sentence. Whereas "I couldn't care less" is just a lie. People are lying to you, Dave, and I can't be dealing with that.
I think it's a figure of speech, though, rather than being an absolute scale.
Maybe I'm going too deep into this. Oh, I have to live with myself every day, Dave. Now we have a problem because we have no idea what happened in the mailing list.
That is a problem, I'm afraid. Yes, I haven't managed to come up with a solution to that one. In the days when we had Gmail, we could have run over there and looked at it, but Gmail,
I suppose, go back and type HPR into my archive and find out what was going on the mailing list. How do you post a show under various hosts? And
that's a good question, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
And the answer is you email admin at Hacker Public Radio and you tell us that you posted a show. Usually we know if it's coming in that it will be from who it's from, so it's usually not a problem. If you put it in the something in the host field, just say please post this under your own host profile. Please post this as Hacker Pub, as what various artists or whatever. Yeah, and the first installment of the Amateur Roundtable was posted due to reservations with FOSDEM and LinuxComp.au. Show will not air until the 3rd of March. We'll probably want to wait until after that to do another roundtable to gather additional comments and questions from interested parties. Absolutely. Bob Yonkman said, "Hi all, I finally uploaded a show. I left out some details. Is there a way to edit it after it airs? Also, I added the show notes in plain text. Should you use another format?" And you replied, "Welcome on board. We don't offer a way to edit stuff." And I've been thinking about that, Dave. And I think, when you post your show, your show is posted, it's in the ether, and that's it, I'm afraid. What's said is said. That said, we have edited show notes on a regular basis. So
yes. It's just the thing of being able to go and edit it yourself, like a sort of CMS or something, would be nice. But
then people could go back and change stuff, and it's not what was valid on the day.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But you'd need Yeah, the way you do that in the CMS is you have an approval process, so somebody upstream says, oh, no, you're not saying that, and doesn't let it through, and so forth.
Yeah, there is, and that's what that was the idea behind the PGP key thing, that if you had signed your host key is available, and that we could validate it some way that you would be able to edit it automatically. But that's on a list of things to do. We're also having problems with the admin mailing list. We are getting, if you email admin@hackerpublicradio.org, we are getting them, and we will reply, depending on your time zone, maybe 12 hours later. But you will get saying this mail user doesn't exist. And we've contacted Josh about this, and he's kind of busy with life at the minute. So we will see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that it does that, because it puts people off a bit. But there you go. It's not the end of the world. We do get this stuff, and we pointed out that it's just a glitch rather than an out and out failure. So
yeah,
good. Okay.
So that was it. We steamed through them because of the amalgamation of the HPR stuff or the FOSDEM stuff and the Linux.conf.au. But I have nothing else to say, Dave.
Well, me neither, really. It's been a lightning fast show, really, hasn't it?
Cool. Make up for the 2-hour jobs that we've done in the past. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't have to sing a song or anything like that. Just
Dave. You know as well as I do. Join us now and share the software. Anyway, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio. Thanks, Dave. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.